Good morning, everyone. Friends, our first reading describes and how they should be responding to each other. And we heard particularly about the sons, be respectful of dad and recognize mom's authority. In my family, I recognized mom's authority. She was much sterner than dad. And my friends, our second reading, St. Paul, is certainly applying this to the blood relatives, but he goes out further. Now, the family is all those baptized in Christ. All who are disciples and followers of Christ are now families. And we know that Jesus also said something to the similar when he was in a house talking and his mom came, remember? His mom came to collect him. And they said, "Mom's outside, your mom's outside." And he says, "Huh, who's my mother? Who's my father? Those who do the will of my heavenly Father, that is my mother and my father and my brother and sister." This is what St. Paul is getting at. And my friends, our gospel is seen in the life of the Holy Family. And as our opening prayer said, the church holds them as the example for all Christian families. And I'm very well aware some people, because they're like, "Come on, Father, really? That family? Two saints and the Son of God? That's the ideal for us." And how could this be the model when you have two saints and the Son of God? And it seems to be too much for families to follow as an example. And I'm not going to go any easier on you. In the past, I have. But I'm not going to this morning. I'm going to tell you that, there's a higher demand being put upon us. Because at the first glance, the Holy Family of Nazareth is founded upon a divine family. Do you know who I'm speaking about? The divine family? Can anyone tell me who the Trinity? So, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph of Nazareth, the Holy Family, they're modeled after the divine family. Now we're talking about the Holy Trinity. Jesus could have come into our world as an adult at the age at which he was to begin his public ministry, 31, 32, 33. He could have, he's God. But that was not the will of his heavenly Father. God the Father brought his begotten Son into our world within a family setting, within a family, and as a child. Because he wanted the earthly beginnings of his only begotten Son to reflect his eternal origin in the Trinity. God's life is one of a family. My friends, from all eternity, the Father gives life and being to his only begotten one through the love of the Holy Spirit. Now, Mother Church proposes this feast to us, proposes the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph of Nazareth as a model to be followed. But we must realize that the ultimate model in life is God himself. And the Christian God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "I kneel before God the Father, from whom every family in heaven," you need to think about that, "every family in heaven and on earth takes its name." I've been pondering that for weeks. Every family in heaven, what does that mean? I know about the Trinity, but what else does that mean? There's always more, and none of the professors addressed it. I'm going to write a letter to Pope Francis and see what he says about that, because he's a leader. So my friends, of course, the problem is with the Holy Trinity, oftentimes, because it's so difficult, we approach the Holy Trinity in a mathematical sense, 1, 2, 3, or in a philosophical, or even a metaphysical sense. But the truth of the matter is, there is one word that summarizes the Holy Trinity: relationships. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're not an equation to be figured out. It's a family. And it's hard for us to think of God that way. It's a family. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. St. John tells us that God is love, and that is absolutely true. But God is a family and thus a relationship. The Father gives himself completely to the Son, and the Son responds with complete devotion and absorption of his Father. And the two are so devoted to each other in the unifying love of the Holy Spirit. Now you see, that's the divine family. That's the ideal that all families are to aspire to. I know. But isn't it beautiful? I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. The realization that God's life is the ultimate model for all families should not discourage us from trying to achieve it. Not only in your families, in the blood, but this family, which is the parish. I'm the spiritual father. I'm the pastor. And sometimes I knock myself out completely trying to figure out how to do this. Because I hear how difficult it is to do it in that family. And I'm trying to do it to the Nicholas family of 1,300 families. And there's a whole bunch of personalities in there. Lots of personalities in there. Friends, perhaps this helps us to understand why sometimes we may feel the divine family, because we are trying to reach that example that the Holy Trinity is for all of heaven and all of earth. My friends, I believe God understands all of this. This is why he puts Jesus into that family of Mary and Joseph. That is why But he didn't do it just to that family, just to Mary and Joseph. In truth, when we really reflect on it, Jesus is in the family of the church. Yes, I know it's his church, but God places him within the church. And especially at the celebration of the Mass, when all the family members have come together. Well, we're missing a few. Well, a lot of them were here for Christmas. So we pray that they'll come back before Easter. Huh? But these are family members, but they were... And we hear at the Mass, we hear the very guiding words of Jesus Christ and his teachings and his advice and how to live a life of love. Jesus, in the Scriptures, don't just tell us how. He showed us how to do this. And at Mass, we receive the power, or the theological word, grace, to follow that teaching. And we receive his very body and blood, grace-filled, so that we are able to do this. And that is amazing grace there. Friends, the life of the Holy Family should not seem lost or out of reach or only in the pages of a book, only in the pages of the New Testament. The family life of the Holy Trinity should not seem distant and out there somewhere. It's very imminent to us. Its pattern is in everything. My friends, God is close to us. God is present. God is close to us in the liturgy. He wants to make his family life come very much alive in the human family and in the family of the church. And he makes it come alive in the Holy Family, and he absolutely makes it come alive in this family known as the church. Now, my friends, I know it's early. If all that I have put forth to you seems to be too much, oh, Father, stop already. Fine. Then simply go back to St. Paul's reading, because St. Paul clearly delineates for us what we are supposed to be doing, what the family life is to be like. He tells us how to live sociably with each other. First, he reminds us that we are God's chosen ones, his holy ones. We are his beloved. This is key. This is starting point. We should contemplate this. And I often wonder, are you folks thinking about this, that you are God's chosen, that you are his beloved now? And if you are, do you discuss this with your own family members? When was the last time at breakfast you told him, "Do you know that you're God's chosen one? You better behave yourself." better start finding yourself and acting like that, huh? Now, Father's joking, but has Mom ever said that to you? You can tell that this is your family. You can tell the truth. No. Mom. Breakfast. Tell them. Let them know. His hair is getting really long, by the way. Your hair is getting really long. You see, we don't discuss that. And yet that becomes key. If you know who you are, you will know how to act, for the most part. Huh? So we need to talk about this. So St. Paul then goes on, as a reminder, he tells us how to act, and the perfect place to start, he's pointing, is to your own family, because often enough, the person across that breakfast table is the hardest one to forgive. We can forgive the person who's on the corner, who maybe did you wrong. When that person across the table from you, oh, you will hold a grudge against that one. So St. Paul says, first and foremost, you need to forgive that person. St. Paul tells us to put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, charity of heart, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Then comes the greatest virtue to put on and to practice with each other. He says, love. And he goes further and he says, this is the bond of perfection. Friends, this feast of the Holy Family allows us time to assess our family lives, to reflect on how each one of the family members can make it stronger, to assess how each one of the family members brings their gifts to life, and how you can really, truly make it a family modeled after the Holy Family, and even more, the Divine Family. My friends, as the pastor, everything I'm putting forth to you about your family applies to the family that is St. Nicholas. Our parish is to be a family in God that allows all of our members to be in a network of relationship with each other, to be rooted in Christ, to be rooted in the Word and sacrament and tradition, and that then enables all of our members to grow in grace and truth. Friends, Jesus posed a question to his parents who were filled with anxiety. He says to his mother and his father, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Apparently they did not, because the scripture tells us they didn't understand him. I suspect then they were learning as they went through life. Mom, are you learning as you go through life with those? Yeah. See? Joseph and Mary did the same thing. They were going on learning with the Son of God. From everyone, from Mary and Joseph to each one of us, we are to grow in faith and trust and patience and compassion and wisdom, humility, step by step. Our life is a journey to God. As we grow physically, we are supposed to grow emotionally and spiritually. It takes an entire lifetime for all three of them. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. For some, it takes a shorter period of time. For others, it seems like it is going to take a lifetime. But we all do it step by step as we grow in wisdom with his grace. We are not to travel it alone. We are to travel it as a family, my friends. A family that's rooted in faith and love and traditions. I'm going to close my homily, I know, thank you, Father, with the ending sentence of our gospel. And so they went home together, and Jesus was obedient to them and grew in wisdom and age and favor before God and humankind. This is my prayer and my wish for you and your family and the family that is St. Nicholas Catholic Church. Amen.